Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 163 of the Panelcast. I am your host, AJ, and I'm here with Anthony.
Hey, everybody. Back again.
This week, we are coming to you live from the floor of Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, a.k.a. the con formerly known as Kamikaze. I think next year it'll just be a symbol, just like Prince. We are going to be walking the floor, getting interviews from people, talking about all the wonderful things that we're seeing here while we're taking a bunch of different pictures and all that fun stuff. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be on the floor of the con, formerly known as Kamikaze. See you guys in a bit.
I'm the mad scientist in Heroes Haven, and gotta tell you something. I invented this drug that will turn you into a superhuman, and it's that simple. You just can do almost anything you want. There's just a small possible side effect of death, but it's basically, you know, the odds are like between, you know, 1 or 2% that you won't die, but it's really worth it because you could become a superhuman superhero kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I prefer that over anal leakage. So
over what?
Over anal leakage.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I prefer death over that any day.
So. Oh, absolutely. And you might, if you're lucky, get the anal leakage and death.
Oh,
which
okay.
Could be, you know, well,
further embarrass my mom. That's
yeah, yeah, your mom, yeah, yeah. This is not something, you know, suitable for parents to see. They will feel bad for you. So you just want to kind of, you know, hide it under your mattress with your Playboys and stuff. This is a really cool book, and it's about Heroes Haven, and it's by a company called Gotham City Films. And I'm supposed to do this every now and again. You know,
right?
That it's to scare people, kind of. You know, or maybe I also do. Hey, what's the matter with you? You don't want to take a taste of this? Hey, what can it do? You know, what's the problem? Trust me, believe me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, we have someone in our world that says that all the time. Believe me. You know, I guarantee it. It's amazing. Well, it is. He's right about V1, the drug that will turn you into, all together now,
superhero.
Right.
Awesome. Where can we find the book? Online or anywhere?
Yeah, you can find it right now at booth number 1925. And you can also find it online, of course, booth number 1925. You can find it online at... HeroesHaven.com. Let me see. There it is. Here's the backside. Oh, yeah. You can download it there.
Oh, it looks to be available at Amazon.com. So we can look up Heroes Haven on Amazon.com and download it from there.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I mean, of course, I know these things.
You know this already.
Yeah, I knew that.
I'm just, you know, repeating.
Yeah. No. You're right.
I'm reaffirming what you already told me.
You're reaffirming actually something I hadn't said yet, which is just showing how
I took the pill.
What's the word?
Intuitive?
Not chauvinistic. What's that word? Clairvoyant.
There you go.
I get it mixed up a lot. Yeah. So thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. And do stop by the booth.
I will look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. We're back at what has to be the longest name in comic book convention history, the Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con. At least that's the most annoying name. It's hard trying to say that whole name out to everybody when you're talking to them, when we can just shorten it to Kamikaze. I don't know.
Yeah, it would make more sense, but, you know, what are you going to do?
So we're about on row 400. Anthony and I like to go up and down the rows, see what we can see, and if we find anything that catches our attention. So far, the most annoying thing that has caught my attention is the layout.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I actually feel bad for all of the everybody that's sitting in Artist Alley at this point, because they're all just kind of crammed into one corner or into the very back of the exhibit hall, and surrounded by crap, which a lot of people may not ever go past to find them where they're at.
And even worse still, the direction that their tables are facing is in the complete opposite direction of the rows and aisles that are going up and down the floor. So it makes it like if you're on the back, you can't actually get anywhere to see other parts of the floor. And it's just a pain in the ass. I mean, this is one of the reasons why Forbidden Panel won't do Kamikaze ever again, or whatever the frick it's called, because it's just the disrespect they give to Artist Alley. And right now, all I've seen is a bunch of looky-loos. Like, and we're guilty of the same thing, but, I mean, we're just walking up and down the aisles, and so is everybody else, not looking, not paying attention, not caring. Now, it could be a case of the Fridays.
Very possible. I mean, it is first day and this is the shortest day of the convention, so it may be everybody's just kind of making their initial pass through and seeing what all there is to see, and they'll actually drop money in the coming days of the convention. They will have picked out the stuff that they want to buy and they'll stop back by and pick it up. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are just kind of wandering aimlessly at this point.
This is probably one of the biggest swap meet cons we've been to in a long time, because, I mean, that's what it feels like. Not to complain or you know, bitch too much about it, just saying. Personally, if you're listening to this and you're going to a convention, I'm going to tell you right now, as a vendor, as an exhibitor, as an artist and a creator, the worst thing in the world that you could ever do is wait till Sunday for us. Because as far as we're concerned, seeing purchases happen the day of or when people walk by, it not only helps out, you know, with the finances and whatnot, but it also lifts our spirits. It gives us energy to continue on. Sitting behind that booth, believe it or not, is very exhausting for us. And when you come up and you say kind words so that you like the art and even make a purchase right then and there, it fills us full of happiness and endurance to last for the rest of the show. So... Well, on that note, Anthony, unless you got something else to say, we'll go ahead and continue on.
I got nothing else. We'll get back to the floor, and we'll be back with you guys a little bit later.
Hello, everybody. I'm on the floor of, what are we calling this show? I mean, it's just, the name is too long to talk.
Well, the latest and final title for this show now is called the Stan Lee Los Angeles Comic-Con.
Right, but I mean, it's too long of a name. I've been calling it the Slack Show. Because it's just short for that, but
I'm pretty happy with just the Stan Lee show, you know. It sounds like a great sitcom, you know, with you know, and starring, you know, Burgess Meredith as Stan Lee,
right.
You know, brought to you by Purina.
Anyways, I'm on the floor with Rafael Navarro. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely capital, sir. Capital.
I've been following your adventures. You've been going all over the place lately.
We've been doing pretty much the Guns A-Blazing tour pretty much all throughout the year. We're wrapping it up finally. I think this might be our last major show. I know I have one solo show in Salinas a week before Christmas, but as far as I'm concerned, the Stan Lee show is literally the last one. So, yeah, for the Guns A-Blazing tour. So,
why is that?
Because it's the end of the year, man. It's, there's not many shows happening already after this show, pretty much. So, yeah, this is pretty much it. And yeah, we got to actually make issue 5. And that is my co-creator of Guns A-Blazin', Mr. Mike Wellman, there at 12 o'clock. Just imagine, if you will, a guy who's pretty much a cross between, I don't know, like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo and Errol Flynn. Yeah. That's my dear friend, Mike. One of my best, closest friends and a co-recontour of Guns A-Blazin'.
So if Shaggy had motivation.
Motivation and like I said, the charm and allure of Errol Flynn. So, yeah. I said you were a combination of Shaggy and Errol Flynn.
Okay.
There you go.
Why don't you tell us about the book?
About the book? It's about two time-traveling outlaw cowboys who inadvertently screw up the space-time continuum.
Issue 6 pages, by the way.
Issue 4 is out now, and it's been a really sort of a non-stop roller coaster ride. Issue 5 is going to be a little different. We're working on that one now. It's where we explain our time travel theories and stuff. So, because we feel like we owe you an explanation. And we have one. So, yeah.
The now it can be told issue.
Yes. Have you read the book?
No, but I've been following online. Follow his artwork online.
Groovy, man. Yeah.
And I've been loving it. So.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we hit these shows and...
You've been dressing up for the shows, too.
We didn't really necessarily today, but we will tomorrow. And
no, we're not taking pictures, so you're okay.
Oh, it's fine, yeah. So you folks listening at home, yes, we're wearing debonair cowboy outfits, and Raphael's wearing his corset again. So.
Well, you know, somebody's got to keep it straight.
Yes.
Straight where?
Straight to, you know, wherever it needs to get to.
So this is your last show of the year.
Just this year, yeah. Then we'll be back at it next February.
Actually,
we're doing
we just booked the first show for the new year right here, man.
Actually, that'll be our second show. We're doing Long Beach Comic Expo. We're doing Pasadena Comic Con next year, and obviously we'll be at San Diego again.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There's plenty of shows
space. Next year.
Pretty much more shows coming as time proceeds.
Unless
so
selected, then we're moving to somewhere.
Right. No. To say the least, anyways.
Else.
Anywhere else. Well, all right, guys. I wish you guys the
Thank
best
you.
Of luck.
What's the show?
Panelcast, Forbidden Panel.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Oh, we'll be able to get a picture here.
There you go.
Awesome, man. Can't wait to hear it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
We'll post it up.
All right.
Not the Peter, my pants.
All right, guys. I'm still here at the Stanley's Los Angeles Comic Con, and I'm here with, man, what was your name again? Alfred, Alfredo, Frank, Tony.
Alfred. Alfred.
I don't have to get that loud.
Can you hear me okay?
And you don't have to get that personal. Like, I don't have a condom on this mic. Okay. Don't try and put your mouth deep.
Yeah,
no.
I thought that's what the little black tip was for.
It's a Halloween one right here.
Sorry, was that too much?
Racist. It's all right, I got a black man next to me. It's cool.
Yeah,
see what you want.
Yeah, it's all good.
You're here at the Wonder Comics booth. Tell me what you're doing here.
Well, we're trying to make some money.
You don't have to get that close, man. That's fine.
Why? I want to get close.
You're topping out the volume.
Just trying to make some money. Just doing the same thing as always. You know, enjoying ourselves at the convention. We've been coming to the Stanley's convention for about 4 years now, just, you know, selling and stuff like that. So it's always a lot of fun out here in LA.
Tell us what you have here at your booth.
We got all kinds of stuff. We got t-shirts, we got belts, we got wallets, we got socks, we got toys, Funko Pops, you know.
Maybe you should tell us about your comic book store and what all this is related. Tell me you got shirts. I don't know what kind of shirts you're talking about.
Well, you asked me the right questions and all that.
I'm saying advertise yourself, my friend.
I got all kinds of shirts. I got DC shirts, I got Batman shirts, I got Wonder Woman, I got...
Is that a muumuu?
I got Spider-Man shirts for girls, for boys. I got ladies shirts, Harley Quinn, all over the place. Poison Ivy.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So you say you've been doing the show for 4 years. You really enjoy it?
Yeah, man. Coming out to the convention is a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, too. I mean, having to come out here real super early to set up. But it's always a lot of fun. And we get to bring out the whole family. My kids get to come out and hang out all day, the whole weekend. You know, make a whole weekend of it. And it's a lot of fun. We've made a lot of friends coming out here and doing this, too. So it just gets better every year.
Now, as a vendor that's primarily resale and retail stuff, how do you feel about the notion, like Anthony and I, our argument today, all day, has been about how this feels like a swap meet. How does that feel? Can you relate to that? Do you think we're right? What do you think?
I wouldn't say a swap meet because a swap meet...
Of course, you wouldn't say a swap meet.
But. Yeah. To me, a swap meet is where you go in and you can negotiate prices down to like a buck. You know, these are items that you're looking at $100, $1,000 items. You know, and that's not swap meet material. You know, and this isn't the kind of stuff that some guy found in a basement or an attic and he's just trying to dump off at a swap meet. You know, this is high end stuff that you can't find anywhere else. You know, that's...
Well, for the record, it was Anthony that was saying that.
Okay.
Just throw me under the bus.
That bus has been riding around here a lot lately. A lot.
It does loops.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, even besides the fact that, you know, I sell at these conventions and everything, it never really feels like a swap meet type thing to me.
I mean, the other LA Con that's out here, the Shrine Show, or it used to be the Shrine Show, that is.
Yeah.
When you've got a booth set up for porn, you know, that's a swap meet show.
You can tell by the atmosphere, too. I mean, you kind of see, you know, the venue, pricing, you know, that kind of stuff kind of gives you like a clue, an idea. I know exactly which one you're talking about, and I've been there just a visit. I never vended there, only because it didn't seem like the type of place where I'd be able to really you know, make any money at selling the type of product that I sell.
Well, even the one in City Industry, Frankenstein's, is actually, it is an indoor swap meet.
Yeah, that one is kind of different. And again, that's kind of because of some of the other vendors that are there, I guess you could say. I mean,
for us as a creative team, as an artistic team and company, being where the ratio is more, you know, resale and retail stuff as opposed to art and creativity, for us it feels like a swap meet show, because for us we get buried beneath, you know, behind you guys. Literally, like here, Artist Alley is way behind where you guys are, so.
Yeah, and I can see that, but considering, because no offense, but you guys just deal in the comic book stuff, you know, so.
Right, at a comic book convention.
Yeah, but I deal in all the other
from
stuff.
From Stan Lee.
Shirts, you know, the toys.
It started, you know, by making comic books.
The paintings. I deal in all that kind of stuff. So when I'm looking at it from the point of view of that kind of stuff, Frankincense, for instance, when Frankincense kind of first started, it was, to me, it was more kind of swamp meat-ish, only because there were fewer people that had higher-end products. Now you go down there, and there's a lot of guys down there that have, like, expensive stuff. You know, they've got high-end stuff right now. And that's kind of the reputation they're starting to pick up, because they're even becoming their own small little convention, and they're getting higher-end, celebrities and stuff like that. So, I mean, they are trying to change their outlook, you know.
Okay. I had other questions. You recently... Right. Well, I mean, it's dealing with you, so obviously not.
My mom would just say they were a lie.
Right. They're definitely a lie. Again, dealing with you.
Truth hurts.
Tell us about your store.
It's our store is called Wonder Comics. We're in Yucaipa, California, that is. And we sell pretty much like the same thing we're here.
Is there a Yucaipa in New York?
I wouldn't know. I'm not that lucky. We sell everything. I mean, we try and carry a variety of stuff. I even sell some local artwork. There's some of their local artwork. We sell all kinds of different stuff. Pretty much anything that I can get my hands on that is comic book related, I'll sell.
And how's that been going for you? You've been open for about a year?
Yeah, we're actually going to have our one-year anniversary in December. So, yeah, it'll be 1 year, which is a little over a month now.
Well, good for you. You can read a calendar.
You're going to be there, right?
Yes, you've invited us to have a booth.
Yes, yeah, okay. A good memory.
Are we the only comic book people there?
Well, yeah, I wanted you to be the only comic book because, you know, awesome. I want you to have sole rights.
Remind me to show you the article that states that I am the center of the Inland Empire comic book explosion.
Yeah.
So you have to have me.
I'd love to see that article.
I'm serious. I have an article. I'll show it. I will text it to you on your high-fingled phone.
Oh, is the article that small?
Yes. Yes. About as short as I am. Now, you recently were host to the Inland Empire Comic Book Club. How'd that come about, and how'd you enjoy it?
Well, you've been telling me about the comic book club for a while. And when we had the comic book club at the store, it was a lot of fun. You know, one of my regulars went down there too, and he enjoyed himself a lot. It's really cool, man, when you get to sit around with the fellow geeks, you know, and talk about stuff and about comic books, and it's really comfortable, you know, to talk to other people about the same stuff that you enjoy. So I liked it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
The one thing I liked about it was it was exactly what I had wanted it to be, where we had people that had no idea about comic books, and here we were talking to them about it and introducing it to them, and just to watch their eyes light up and whatnot was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I have other people that wanted to do it, too, just they couldn't make it down there on that day. You know, so hopefully we'll be able to do it again and get some more people to come down there.
Should be fun. So that about wraps it up. I want to thank you for being on the show.
This is a show?
Yes, it's a show. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. You know, I mean, this is our 163rd episode, but we've been doing this for like 8 years now. But, you know, why would you care? Because we're just beneath you. You know, just little guys.
I just thought you had some kind of, you know, problem sticking your phone in people's faces.
No.
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Well, I just wanted your voice so I can go to sleep tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
So yeah, thanks Alfred for being on the show, and hopefully we'll get you on the show for other things.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, man.
Hey guys, this is AJ again. I'm down here with David Mack. How you doing, sir?
Hey, happy to be here. Golden Apple booth, Stanley's LA Comic Con. Been super busy so far.
How are you enjoying the whole change from Kamikaze to Stanley?
I think it's a good idea. You know, it's direct. You know, Stanley's LA Comic Con makes sense to anybody who, you know, outside of comics even, you know, lets them know what it is. So it seems reasonable to me.
Cool. I've been loving your work on the Fight Club 2. How did that come about?
For Fight Club 2, I was, I've been talking to Chuck for years, like meeting him up with for years at for lunch and stuff in Portland and talking about comics. I was telling him how Brian Bendis and I were writing this Daredevil End of Days story and how we were working together on it. And I think Chuck liked this idea of comics being so collaborative because I think he felt, you know, the writing of his books was more, you know, more of a solitary event. And with comics, he got the impression that, you know, you have all these different people working together, which seemed kind of fun. So, you know, he would ask me questions about it and stuff. And I think Bendis kind of put the idea in his head. He was at a dinner party at Bendis's that he should probably do, like, you know, like another Fight Club story. And so I told him, you know, I'd be happy to be part of any kind of collaboration with him in any way, Fight Club or any other thing, and in any way I could be useful. And I was talking with him, suggesting Dark Horse as a publisher and Scott Alley as an editor. Scott was editing my Kabuki books, and you know, Scott gave me a call once. I was in Mexico doing I was walking around with Brian Boland and Joe Staten in Mexico City, and we did a signing there, and then I got a call from Scott saying, like, you know, they wanted me to do the covers for Fight Club. So I was like, yeah, count me in.
Awesome. What's your next project coming out?
Well, I'm working on all the Jessica Jones covers right now for Marvel. I'm working on, well, there's some projects I guess I have to wait for them to announce. And then also the new Kabuki Library volume from Dark Horse comes out in November. I think those might be the only things I'm allowed to talk about at the moment.
Are you doing any new Kabuki stories or Kabuki books?
Yeah, I want to do some new stuff. There were some things I did more recently. Like I did a Dark Horse Presents Kabuki story and a Little Kabuki and Slumberland. And so I put those newer Kabuki stories into the newest volume of the Kabuki Library volume, volume number 3 that's out now. And when I was working on that, I was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to do like a more long form Kabuki story. But I also felt like I've done, you know, I've got 4 library volumes of them, each one over 400 pages. So there's over 1,600 pages of Kabuki stories. So I thought, well, I should probably do some other creator-owned projects first. So laying the track right now for some other creator-owned projects, doing a creator-owned project with Brian Bendis, and then also a creator-owned project with myself, Brian Bendis, and Bill Sienkiewicz. So we haven't, like, announced, you know, those or put them on a schedule yet. But also, you know, me and Sienkiewicz and Bendis are also working on the sequel to the Daredevil End of Days story. So I already put in a lot of writing on that and working on that as well.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to hog up any more every time, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So do I. Thanks. Hey, everybody. This is AJ. I'm on the floor with Dan Mendoza. This is the third time we've tried this.
I'm getting tired of saying hello.
I know, man. But at least I got my hug. That's all I care about. So, yeah, 6 years ago, you were at the Atlanta Power Comic Expo promoting Zombie Champ.
Yeah.
And you guys have blown up since then. Tell us all about it.
I just kept being persistent on it, plugging away at shows, conventions. I had just single issues. And, you know, it finally took notice from a publisher like Action Lab. And they tried out. They republished what I had already. And then they tried out one more miniseries, which I did for them. And then it went so well that they started talking about doing a monthly series. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then that's been 3 years ago already. So now it's on issue like 28 or something like that. Yeah.
So it just blew up.
Yeah. it got a lot of attention, and people liked it. I think it's different because it's totally not politically correct, and people that are just getting tired of this PC world we live in, they start looking for other outlets of things that are about things that, you know, that we're just tired of that shit, and characters that are tired of that shit, and that's where they find Zombie Tramp.
And boobs,
yeah. It helps a lot that she's, you know, well endowed and she's beautiful and all that and stuff. You know, it's eye candy, but, you know, once they pick it up, they see that there's actually a story there, and then that keeps them, you know, buying the book and everything like that.
Now, being a monthly series, are you still... You're not the only person working on it now.
No, it's crazy. I still write almost every issue. Right now, I got Jason Martin, who does Vamplade, doing a story arc right now, a three-issue story arc, because I needed a break because I started a new series, Dollface. So I'm writing and drawing that. So on top of writing Zombie Tramp, I'm also writing and drawing another comic book. So I just needed a break so I can get a head start on Dollface, and then I'll go back to it. So.
How does that feel, passing off like your hard-earned work to somebody else?
It's stressful when things don't come out right because they have to send me the scripts, and I'll get upset and I'll change the dialogue because I'm like, that's not how she talks. And I'll just, so basically every time they send me scripts, I got to rework it. So yeah, I'm just anal about things. But you know what I mean? If the characters don't act the way they're supposed to act, then the readers are going to notice. So, right.
Yeah. So at the same time, you got to be kind of loving the whole being in charge and having like a crew now. And
yeah, getting emails almost every day and looks, because there's always more than one book being worked on at once. So you'll get emails saying, like, this is one guy's dailies, this is another guy's dailies. So you got to, like, in my head, I got to remember what those scripts are about. And then I have to look at their thumbnails or their final pages and approve them and send them back in. But we got a pretty good team of artists, so I usually never send anything back. So
awesome. So are you happy with where it's going?
Yeah.
Did you dream it was going to get like this?
No. It was just something I made for fun. So, but now it's blown up, and I'm very happy with the success, and I'm really happy with my fans. They're really, really loyal, and they love the character so much, and I find that great that they liked the character that I made, that I liked too. So.
And I've seen a lot of people cosplaying. Is it like that's got to give you a little bit of love in there too?
Yeah. There's some cool stuff, especially on the internet going around, where you get some cool cosplayers and cool little zombie videos and stuff. You know, we had the San Diego variant where Diana Prince, she did a bunch of cosplay for those covers, and then she's going to come down and do signings for them this weekend or anything like that. So
Diana Prince, Wonder Woman's real name?
Diana Prince, yeah, that's her name too. I think she had her name legally changed to Diana Prince.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Like a super Wonder Woman fan, but yeah.
Now, tell us about Dollface.
Dollface is, it's set in the Zombie Tramp universe, and it's these two MIT students. They this kid finds this program online, and it says Necronomicon, but he doesn't believe in any of that shit, so he just thinks it's programming, but he thinks it's an AI program. So he talks to his friend. He's like, hey, we can make a lot of money if we fucking build a sex doll and we give it artificial intelligence, and it'll be like the first thing on the market. And then so they're kind of like, nah, that's not... Whatever, let's just fucking do it. So it kind of starts off like weird science. Let's build a girl. And
they got bras on their head?
We were going to do that. We're going to be like, you want to put a bra on your head? What for? I don't know. They just fucking do it. Like, one person see the movie, one person hasn't. But anyways, yeah, when they engage it and push enter or whatever, and they think that they're making this artificial intelligence, what they really do is they pull in the soul of a witch hunter from the 17th century into that doll. And when she wakes up, she freaks out. But once she starts getting accustomed with the society we live in now, she finds out that the seven witches that killed her family are still alive. So she starts hunting them all down with the aid of these two students. So
sounds fairly in-depth.
It's kind of cool. It's different from Zombie Tramp. Like, she's really cute and kind of gullible because she doesn't know this world and stuff like that. When she fights and stuff, she's really violent about it. But it's set in that Zombie Tramp universe, but it's a totally different kind of character. And I like that it's not a solo character, because she has those two students with her. That's her team. And you know what I mean? And it's
her own gang of Scoobies.
Yeah. So it's totally like a different kind of storyline. It's not that loner story that like Zombie Tramp, you know.
So very reminiscent of like your life.
Yeah. Yeah, just living alone in a house and, you know, eating M&Ms and stuff. I don't know.
Well, awesome. It's very, I'm very happy to see how you've become, how you've been blowing up and whatnot. So especially, like, I just watched the commercial for the zombie, for the Comic Expo the other day where you were in it. And I'm like, I know that guy.
Oh, really?
You know?
Yeah. I don't watch those things. I didn't even know. That's cool. You know what? I love the ring. Yeah, it's cool to, like, come to, like, something like Kamikaze. I've been going to Kamikaze since it first started. And
It's Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con now, so
they changed it halfway. And now I have two exclusives for the show. And like, you know, and, like, they put me on the website and stuff. They didn't do that before. But now they're doing it, which is cool. And they changed their name, like, halfway, like, through this whole thing. So I have one book that says Kamikaze exclusive and one book that says L.A. Comic-Con exclusive. Is because they this one went to print already, and then they decided to change their fucking name. But whatever.
You know, that's, now that's a collector. That's a collector's edition now.
Yeah, like. But you know, I mean, I see why they did it, because people think of Kamikaze, they don't know what the fuck that is. They hear Comic Con, you know, it's like a household fucking term, so they just come to it.
Well, like I said, I'm very happy for you.
Thank
see how good you're doing and stuff.
Thank you.
Just don't forget us little guys.
I don't.
When you get up there.
I don't. I might give you a little hard time, but no, I don't, dude.
Awesome. Well, what can we expect from you next?
Just more Dollface, man. That starts in January, a monthly series. And then a huge story arc coming up in Zombie Tramp.
So. Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. This is AJ. I'm still on the floor. And, sir, if you don't mind introducing yourself.
My name is Pao Jit Makutson. I'm a Thai, so.
Tell us about your book.
You see here is a book based on history of World War II, from the beginning to the end. It's more a parody. So, the way I juxtapose my humor is to put something really light onto something really dark. And therefore, there's a magic formula into that. Oh, yeah.
Well, I love the artwork. I've been looking at your prints, and you know, the whole scenery looks like one big action.
If you see my little tagline right here, it says suffering is optional. So my philosophy is that you can be happy no matter what. So when I put these little guys into a big battle or oftentimes a place where you don't want to be, but these guys still maintain happily in the field. So
it's like they're having fun with what they're doing.
They're having fun no matter what. Yep.
Awesome. Where can we find your work online?
If you can go to hangboy.com, as HangBoy.com.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right, everybody. This is AJ. We are now sitting in the parking lot of Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Con. Day one is over for us. Actually, the only day that we'll be out here is now over. Overall impressions, Anthony?
I'm too tired. I don't know. Maybe I'm burned out on the whole con thing. Maybe it's something about it being the first day. But I was somewhat underwhelmed overall by what was on offer. The layout wasn't really all that great as far as, you know, promoting creators, small press, any of the artists that are really the foundation of the comic book industry. They all kind of got shoved in the back corner like the redheaded stepchildren. So we had a whole lot of booths selling so many comics, everything in this box, so many for $5. But I don't know. It didn't sing to me, I guess.
I was fairly underwhelmed by the entire show. Just not enough of a draw there. And again, it could be that it's Friday night. It is their version of preview night. So maybe that's why there wasn't too much to offer for this show. But I'm sure maybe tomorrow, when the main stage lights up and gets loud enough to drown out everybody else's booth and where they can't talk, I'm sure then the crowd would be more into it and it might be a little bit livelier. But here we are, first night, you know.
I don't know, though. The whole idea of your main stage being located in your exhibit hall just doesn't sit well for me. Because, I mean, no matter how loud you crank that, the ambient noise of an exhibit hall is going to be a distraction.
to give you guys a fairly good reference point, if you've been to Kamikaze at all, you know that the space is not as big as it should be. Normally, their placement is just never been one of their strong suits. In comparison to San Diego Comic-Con, I'd say this was...
Dude, I wouldn't even go as far as San Diego.
I can't even compare that. Compared to WonderCon, this is about one quarter the size of WonderCon with none of the organization. And there's no heart in this show. Nobody felt excited to be here on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, even from just the people milling around the floor, looking and shopping and buying stuff, I didn't feel that excitement, that energy that I would expect to go along with attending a con like this. It just wasn't there.
Which is unfortunate, because, I mean, the Kamikaze has gone through so many different stages. It has definitely grown throughout the years, but... now that it's under Stanley's banner, which it has been for the past 2 years, but he's changed it to the LA Comic-Con to get that Comic-Con sense. He's got a long way to grow, and he's choosing to do it with not a lot of creative power behind it, you know, everybody being put in the back corner of shame. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe in about 4 or 5 years, it'll blow up and be exactly what he wanted to be, and we'll take over the entire floor. And that'll be great. And I'm hopeful for that for him, because, you know, geeks need somewhere else to go and need to explain something. But when you put Stan Lee's name on it, the godfather of comic books, I expect more comic books. That's just me.
I expect comics to be front and center. I expect you to be pushing artists and creators, because that's what Stan Lee made his name on, comics. So the people that are showing up to this event to sell their comics, to draw attention to their work, I'd expect them to be front and center, because those are the guys that are trying to follow in Stan Lee's footsteps.
Right. Overall, this is the only night we're coming out. We won't be back out here again, if for no other reason, because it was a nice, easy night, and, you know, but for everybody that we met out there, all of our friends and whatnot that's on the floor, everybody that took time out to allow us to interview them, we wish them good luck with the show. I hope you have a bunch of fun. For those of you that will be tuning into this show and going out to Kamikaze this weekend, please visit all of our friends' booths. They're out there on the floor. They're very talented. There's a lot of amazingly skilled artists out there that just need a little bit of love from you guys. And so if you get a chance, make sure Artist Alley is a priority when you come to visit. Having said that, I believe that wraps up the episode 163 of the Panelcast. Anthony, any final words?
Toaster pastries.
And there you have it, folks. With that, this is AJ signing off for Anthony. Good night, y'all.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.